Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand the trial. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Live, God's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah's Radio, Yahuwah's Ministry. I be your host. By name, your seer. Israel, of Seed Royal. Well, we're doing a series called Royal Seed, the Nose Yada. Clean house. Fix the blame and solve the problem. Part number 18, but we made a little slight detour, and we're taking care of the mark of the beat, because we have requests from the ACCC saying, we teach the mark of the beat a little bit different from you. So we want to know, what is your take on the mark of the beast? Because we don't teach the same way that you brings out the mark of the beast. And so we're going to take a look at more information pertaining to that. And this is about our third time in it, I think three. And we'll continue down it. But you always get a teaching on the way of getting a teaching. That's the way it is. Let's see if we're going to be on stage for the night episode, part 18. And right now we see on stage it's going to be our Sister Judith. We see her on stage for tape number 18. So let's see if she's ready to come in out on that microphone and hold down right now out of the gate. It's fine. It can be fixing and fine. Sister Judith, what's on the internet? What you mean, what's on the internet? Well, on the internet side, over 900,000 strong. They'll tell you all about that. But what we're going to do, we're going to get something going on, because one thing about it, a lot of information pertaining to the mark of the beast. What do it mean?
I'm calling you.
Who is it? Always. What is the mystery? Where's the mystery? And I hear one of the heavy voices in the background, so we'll find out what's going on. So now, let's see what's going on tape 18. Who's going to be on stage out of the gate? Sister Judith.
Brother Titus.
Tribe of Yahshua. Oh, Brother Titus. Brother Titus can come out the gate. All right, let's see what's going on here. But Brother Titus come out the gate. Brother Titus, one of the up-and-coming teachers out of Camp 1. Yahuwah be your seer, right?
Yahuwah bless you there, seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, that young lion. All right. Young lion is on the scene. Let's see if Sister Judith is on the scene also. You know, because a lot of information we got to put on tape. Find out something. Sister Judith, Strava Yahdah Judith, one of the sisters out of Camp 1. Y'all probably be there, see you right.
Yes. See Israel. I guess she's coming up with a little cold, that she got a sinus issue. So I guess I'll be.
Oh. Hallelujah. All right. So so you plan on holding down a little bit there on Brother Titus?
Yes, sir. Doing my part.
Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. What do it say in, before we get started there, Brother Titus? What do it say in 26th chapter verse called Matthew? What do it say?
Yes, sir. All right, we're going to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 40 reads, Matthew chapter 26, verse 40. And he come into the disciples and found them asleep and said unto Peter, what can you not watch with me 1 hour?
So the bottom line is, if we're going to get up on the will of Yahuwah, we have to make sure that we fulfill what he got. And what kind of time do Yahuwah require of us, according to that verse there, young line? According to 26:40, what kind of timeline do Yahuwah require us to do once we know who we are? Come on.
1 hour of his word.
Hallelujah. So,
Yahuwah.
About it, if we're about Yahuwah's business, we're going to make sure that we do at least the 1 hour. Anything after that is a plus. But one thing about it, because you want Yahuwah to intervene, and I want to see Yahuwah intervene. I want to see it in my time. So what now? We're going to bring our elder in. Because our elder just came on the scene. So we're going to bring our elder in, young line. And the elder going to lay, going to sit the stage. Then we're going to get something going on. And the elder going to spread some books out. And we're going to peep at a few things. So when you meet our elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Matthias Israel. That's why BJC Radio.
And Yahuwah bless you, Sir Israel, receive well. Hallelujah. Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, the elder. Well, one thing we know, elder, this job got to be done because it said it got to be done. And we got to do our part according to as written. Then one thing Yahuwah is not going to back and back down from is his words. Matter of fact, before you even get anything going on, before we get into, hold on, elder, I want to see what it says. Hey, young line, what do it say in 11:23? And that was 11:23. Can you help those see how it says
yes,
there?
Yes, sir.
11:23, a number.
All right, we're going to the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 23. Numbers, chapter 11, verse 23 reads, and Yahuwah said to Moses, and Yahuwah's hand waxed short. You should see now whether my words should come to pass unto you or not.
And what is his words that he's talking about will come to pass? And he's going to see, he's saying, my words will come to pass. It will come to pass. So what words is that according to Exodus 3:16? What is his word to Moses? He said, Moses, my word is going to happen. I'm going to tell you like it is. And Exodus 3:16, they're going to get Yahuwah. What is the words that he got on the table? It's going to happen with up or without it. What is that? Verse 16, 3:16.
Are we going to the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 16 reads, go gather the elders of Israel together and said to them, Yahuwah of your father, Yahuwah of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt.
So the seer's job is to make sure he makes sure the elders is very equipped with the word of Yahuwah. And guess what happened? Seer done his part. Now, from that point on, the elders, he got to find him a young line teacher. He just got to find the family of Israel, the father, the mother, children. So that's the protocol. And once that protocol is rolling according to the Bible of Yahweh, then he have no choice but to make the next move. That's the way it is. So, Elder Mr. Tears, we on point. We know what we got to be doing. So, whether you want to address this national audience over 900,000 strong, take your time. You want to talk to Elder. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, see you as well, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among the cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners. And that's always a good thing. I always say that each and every time, because with those many people, you know somebody wants to hear the correct word of Yahweh. But there's many people out there trying to say what the word is. But that's not what it says in the book of Sirach. Chapter 11, verse 36. Well, we might well throw 35 and 36 in there so everybody can get a better understanding. 35 says, be willing to hear every Yahweh discord, and let not the parables of understanding escape thee. 36, and if thou seest a man of understanding, get ye behind unto him, and let thy foot wear the steps of his door. And that's generally what you have to do. When you find somebody that knows this word, they know how to precept the Bible, that's the one that you should take the teaching from. Because a teacher can't learn from his students. And why? Because he's giving wise counsel. But having knowledge, he even gains more experience by teaching. Now, a good student can learn from wise counsel, and possibly learning one day to teach themselves. And I always say this shows well in all the six camps that teach, because we have to be aware. We all came to hear things that most of us can hear, and some listening can never understand. But this is what Yahweh's ministry does, makes all listeners' understanding very possible. We have many that came to see things in the Bible, no matter how many times they flip the pages. It can't get it right. But through proper teaching, we help those find what they look for and give them more understanding, because they can be very misinformed. And these are the ones that can do none of these things. This is why the words of Yahweh that is taught makes more of things very possible for the righteous. And the righteous is the word that you have to pay attention to. These are the ones that, by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts, those are the ones that's given the knowledge to know there are others out there that camouflage their evil or confused teachings. We had a lesson on that last night and the night before. Using overly loud bump the counts contests to convince people that's their righteous learning. And even using the Bible scriptures as verbal weapons. More than likely, I guess that's why we had a president that says he loves the uneducated. But we fail to educate those that listen in the word of Yahweh. This is why we're here to help guide you through dark times of bad teaching, loud bump the gums for righteous learning and Christianity. We welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry, coming to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, about Yahweh's word. Learning how to connect the Bible books, your health, foods you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. All this is done because you have not. This information that you came to seek and have to look no further. You've now found that in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yahdah. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the normal days of Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. However, we do have a Sabbath class, and the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. The class time starts at 7:30 to 10:30, and the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m., and the online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. Now, we also have a website address. To use this or any search engine, enter tribeyada.com. And after click enter, once again, look for tribeyada.com, -Israelites. After clicking enter, you'll see a big lion. And under that lion, you'll see some choices, one being tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. However, on any other device, you may see menu. But again, after clicking this, you'll still see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it says in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering, come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, live. Also, for building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program, over Yahuwah. Also, while there, check out our calendar. The calendar is there to help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come throughout the year. We also have a live program to feature that's available during our broadcast time. Just enter 3 words to get there, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, this time, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We also have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number where you can call and leave a message on those scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 600 camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But also in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. You will only hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. Also, by calling that same number, you can order what our numbers know as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. The seer is usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, answering many memos. Besides even trying to get our broadcast going before broadcast time. And besides that, the Latter-day Saints. Almost too much stuff to mention. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if that question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. You know you're going to hear a discouraging dial tone. Now, for those who have maybe missed the beginning of our program, you can always catch the entire show today at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. The program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter 3 words, Yahuwah Radio Live. Once again, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. Choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day on that list that you would like to listen. Now, doing our normal Book Talk broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting on Paltalk. Paltalk can be logged in by your phone, tablet, or computer, even your smartwatch. Just make sure you've downloaded the Paltalk app. We'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. You'll find our room will hold 50 or more listening participants, where Yahuwah's Word will also be working for your Bible education. Online there to answer the on-the-table topics we discuss will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, Israel, along with the seer Israel writing as Shaka. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And your plan to Baruch Talk ends before teaching time. We will continue teaching on Pell Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But once again, a continuing reminder, when we're giving those scriptures to speak by the seer, be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah flow smoothly, remembering that we have over 900,000 listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. And with that many listeners listening, we're given a reminder of confusion in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Because when we're teaching, we keep Yahuwah's scriptures in mind. But when you find those trying to win the bump the gums contest, those are the ones that miss all of Yahuwah's glory which is said unto them. Because we rehearse the righteous acts, as it says in St. John, chapter 14, verse 26. And so we can start to do just that, rehearse the righteous act, program back to our seer Israel, and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. All right, that was excellent. You just read the books a little bit. We're going to see if we bring the mother in. The mother's in. And we'll see what gets going on another episode of Tape 18. But, Elves and Young Minds, a couple of things I need definitions on. I need to define a couple words that's written. Define a couple words. Inauguration. Let me spell it. Just spell this word. Inauguration. And papacy. Young Lion, write these down. Then they have
yes,
coming. I'm going to talk about this for a little bit.
Okay.
I-N-A-U-G-U-R-A-T-I-O-N. Repeat again. I-N-A-U-G-U-R-A-T-I-O-N. And the next word is papacy. P-A-P-A-C-Y. P-A-P-A-C-Y. In inauguration, I-N-A-U-G-U-R-A-T-I-O-N. And papacy. P-A-P-A-C-Y. Shut up. I'm talking to the mother a little bit. And let's see, can we run them words down? Because they might come in handy for this broadcast. But let's see if we find Mother E and see if Mother E is coming to stage to holler in that microphone when she does say Yahuwah. Hey, Mother E, tribe of Yah God Judah, one of the most out of cap one. Yahuwah bless you, see Roy.
Yahuwah bless you, see Israel, or see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, that Mother E. Mother E, now you know we are. We trying to help those that got an ear to hear. And a lot of big organizations, they don't properly understand the breakdown of the mark of the beast. This will take our time, Mother, and help them out. That's what I do is to help them out. And we know Mother Z will be making a commentary later on in the broadcast, but like she said, I ain't heard nothing yet, Phil. How can I make a commentary on something if I ain't heard nothing yet? So, Mother, you got any kind of questions you want to, anything you want to say to the national audience based upon this mark of the beast? And, you
want to
say anything, or you just ready to say, let's get with it? What y'all say that, Mo?
Hey, come on.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Let's get with it, huh? Hallelujah, Yahuwah. All right, good enough. Now, Elder, Mr. Tim, Israel, Brother Titus, Israel, we left the definition the definition of inauguration and the papacy. So y'all take your time for tape 18, and let's see what we can get out of these two definitions. Y'all on the clock.
The first one, inauguration. Well, that is a that word is used in the government and politics. Inauguration is the process of swearing a person into office and thus making that person incumbent, such as inauguration commonly occurs throughout a formal ceremony of swearing a person in to a presidency or anytime there's a gathering. Inauguration is swearing a person into office, basically.
Well, hold on, man. I need the etymology of it. I need the history, where it comes from. When it was first set up, I need the foundation. We know what it used for today, but we want to know what is the history, what is where it comes from. We know where it comes from, the Bible. So we want to know where it came from. We want to know the origin of this word called inauguration. What that means by pulling up the... Hey, Mother E, give me Psalms 11, verse 3, Mother E. What it says in Psalms 11, verse 3?
Psalms 11, verse 3. Psalm chapter 11, verse 3 reads, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
Mm-hmm. Now, before you give me that meaning of young man, look right down at Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's make sure we line up with Yahweh. And Luke 12:12, elders. What that say first, then we'll continue our talk on this word called, we want to know the origin of a word. We know words exist today, but we want to know where did the mindset come from. That we want to know the origin of this word. Luke 12, verse 12, elder. Look at here, what that say, come on.
In the book of Luke, looking at chapter 12, verse number 12 says, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
That's right, El. Well, one thing about the righteous spirit, he'll do talking. He'll do teaching too. But we have to be right to receive it. Now, young lion, do you got any kind of history on this word called inauguration?
Inauguration.
I'm
reading out the online etymology dictionary on the word inauguration. This is the online etymology dictionary. Inauguration, a ceremonial investiture with office acts of solemnly or formally introducing or setting in motion anything of importance or dignity. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
15.
But that ain't really saying nothing no more
okay,
than
I'm about to get
the president don't feel. He want to lay back in the cut and see can we bring out the origin of this word and who first introduced this word. And what is the meaning of this word back in the time that it was put on tape? Because we want the etymology, the origin of the word. Where it come from? We know we can't go in the Bible and find a word. Who mindset put that word on the table? That's what we want to know.
Okay.
So, Elder, you got an idea what I'm saying, Elder? I want to know who was the mindset of this word. Come on.
Well, it was a combination of a couple of words that was put together. It comes from the Latin word inaugure, which was formed by combining with augury, meaning to increase. Augury is likely the origin of augur, spelled the same in Latin and English, though the path of the word development back then was not certain. So they and augur originally meant one who furthers the growth or increase of an enterprise, or subsequently one who sees favor and omens for success. The word was first put together back in the 17th century.
Wait, go back a little farther than that, Elder. So, young Lion, can you go back a little farther than that? Because it's something that I want to hear so I can get dizzy, but I don't want to bring it out. So, hey, go back a little farther than that. What you got there, young Lion?
Okay. I'm looking at the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. What does inaugurate? Okay, it says inaugurate. It says inaugurate comes from the Latin word inaugurate. Inaugurate, spelled different. I-N-A-U-G-U-R-A-R-E, which was formerly combined in with augury. A-U-G-E-R-E, meaning to increase. Augury is likely the origin of augurs, spelt the same in Latin and English, though the path of the word's development isn't certain. Either augur originally meant one who furthers the growth or increase or enterprise of an enterprise, and subsequently one who favors omens for success or the progression could have been growth or increase on the God's favor. And subsequently, favorable omen with the omen then becoming the word of a person who reads or announces it, make it an augur, an official diviner of ancient Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Another related word.
You've done all that to get down to it where it came from. So now you've done all that talking to that tall, long, good read. But you don't got down to the chase of the matter. The word inauguration came out of ancient Rome. So that's where it came from. The word came out of ancient Rome. So we clear that where the word come from. See, Mother Z said, yeah, see, when they get through talking, you get down to the grass part of the history of this word. The word is coming out of ancient Rome. That is what I was looking for. Ancient Rome. You make a note of that. This word inauguration came out of ancient Rome. Now, good. So, it is the ritual of ancient Rome. So, inauguration is a ritual, and it came out of ancient Rome. That's what I want to hear. That's the origin of this word. We know how they apply the word today. You know, a person elected into office, and then they go have an inauguration, like when the president, they get inauguration, and then everybody come before them, see them, put their hand on the Bible. Okay, good. What we have found out, the origin of this word is the ritual of ancient Rome. Now, that's what I wanted. So make a note of that. Although you see your inauguration today, but when it first came into existence, it came as the ritual, referring to the ritual of ancient Rome. Now, that is the now. Once you know that, that's where the word comes from. Inauguration. So You know, some people say, "Well, I'm going to my alderman. He's gonna be inaugurated into the office or whatever." So, but now you know that is the ritual of ancient Rome. So this is for the six anointed camps to make sure you know exactly the number one hit on that. Now, what does the word called papacy mean? Let's find out what that word means. Papacy. What you got on that?
Okay, I'm reading the history of the papacy. All right, the history of the papacy. It says here, Bishop of Rome from the first century A.D. The Pope is the Bishop of Rome. The name derives from a Greek word, papas, meaning father. And Rome's bishop is seen as the father figure of the early church because of the link with St. Peter.
Good. This word papacy has trickled down to the office of the Bishop of Rome, and it means father. Now, Mother E, what do it tell us, Mother E, in Matthew 23, verse 9? And young man, give me the verse called,
the
verse called in the book of Thomas, verse 3.
Had
that waiting on me there, y'all. Yes. Line.
Yes, sir.
In Matthew 23, verse 9, can you help O.C. out, Mother E? What that say?
Matthew 23, verse 9. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven.
You hear that? Now,
mm-hmm.
It tells us in the Bible, call no man your father on earth. They're talking spiritually. You know, you got a stern father. So he's talking about anything outside of your biological father. He said, call no man your father on earth. You see that? Because one is your father, and he is up and away in heaven, third heaven. So now read the word papacy one more time. Now say, hey, yo, don't knock that word out, papacy. Right? I think the young line looking for something. I don't know. Are you looking for something? Papacy. What is papacy mean again?
I didn't even get the spelling of it right.
The history of papacy. The history of papacy. It says, Bishop of Rome from the first century A.D. The Pope is the Bishop of Rome. The name derived from a Greek word, papas, meaning father. And Rome's bishop is seen as the father figure of the early church because of the link with St. Peter.
All right, good. Now, all right, good. That's good. Now, put this in the phone, put it in your on your history, and pull up this word now. Now, you heard that now. But Mother just got to read, don't call no man father that's on earth. Now, that was the Bible that don't do it. But we got millions of running behind the every time the Pope show up, and they'll call them the papacy, which means the Pope, your father on earth, and the Bible says, don't do it. So when you do that, you're breaking what the Bible is saying. Like the word called inauguration. This is a ritual of ancient Rome. So should we go on somewhere, maybe we deal with them. The lesson called the mark of the beast. So we have to set it all up, but when we get real down into it, we understand what words mean then and now, and how words have been changed to mean one thing today, but not the foundation of it and where it comes from. So we found out through Mother's reading you 23 verse 9, call no man father on earth. Don't do it. Your father's in the third heaven. Now, look up this word right here, Elder. The word is, we just spell it out. P-A-T-R-O-N-T-O dash R-E-A-L. Look up the word called history.
I'm not.
So what now?
I didn't catch the first part of that. Did you say C-A-T?
P-A-T like Pat. P-A-T. Like Peter, Apple, Tom. P-A-T. R is in Roy. O is in On. N is in Me. T is in Tom. O is in Owl. Real. R-E-A-L. What that word mean? See, we going somewhere, and to go somewhere, sometimes you got to set the foundation. Mother, help go see out a little bit, mother. In Second Corinthians, mother. In the book of Corinthians, make that First Corinthians, mother. And look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians 14, 19. Hey, Marie, get those C out in 1 Corinthians 14, 19.
Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19. Verse 19 reads.
Yeah, well.
Yet in the congregation of children of Israel, I had rather speak thy words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in a unknown tongue.
Mm-hmm. If we go our ways, mother, and do 100, all we doing is doing our flesh thing. It ain't about that. We're trying now to enlighten the scattered 12 tribes of Israel, and we not anti-anybody. We just pro 12 tribes of Israel, just scattered. That's all we are. We just pro 12 tribes of Israel that is scattered. That's it. We're not anti-anybody. Our job is to come and bring you uncut, just says Yahweh. So we know what the word papacy means today. It means father. But we went in the Bible in 23, verse 9, it said, don't do it. And he'll tell us the people of the book did, children of Israel. Now, the other nations can do whatever they want to do because that wasn't given to them, the other nations. But the children of Israel, they were told not to do it. Because your father is in heaven, third heaven. So he said, call no man father on earth. But you got a big organization called the Roman Catholic Church, and they got a name called Papacy, the office of the Bishop of Rome in the Vatican City. So you see, that's contrary to the Bible. Either we gonna do Bible and come out of this thing together, or we just going to continue on what we're doing now and wonder why we take so many steps up and be cut back to nothing, because we got to get the order together. Now, this word I want, the history of this word, P-A-T-R-O-N-T-O-R-E-A-L, who got that word and who could expound on that one word? Come on.
All right, let me look up, see what that word means.
What you got, Elder?
P-A-T-R-O-N.
What you got, See, we don't rehearse nothing prior to it. Everything is like rapid fire. We come on the airwaves, and when we do Luke 12, 12, we don't know where we go, but one thing we do know, we come on the airwaves, hey, Mother E, what it say in Luke 24, 32, and 45. Luke
24,
32, and 45. Hey, Mother E, what's that say?
Luke 24, 32, and 45. Yeah, what's that say? Luke 24, 32, and 45. And they said one to another, did not our mind burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures.
Mother E, when we come on this broadcast, according to them two verses you read, what do we come on this broadcast 6 nights a week to do? According to verse 32 and 45, what is our purpose that we come on the broadcast 6 nights a week? According to verse 32 and 45. What does it say there, Mother?
Okay. Well, it said 32 said, did not our mind burn by within us while he talked with us by the way? And 45 said, then opened he their understanding that they might understand.
Mm-hmm. So my question is to you, why do we come on the broadcast according to verse?
That's what I thought I just read.
I know you read. I'll tell you what, hold on. Watch the young line expound on them two verses. Young line expound on them two verses now. Come on.
All right. Luke 24, 32. So right now you got to make your mind burn. Your mind got to burn. By the way, why he opens, and our job is to open to us the scriptures. And then in verse 45, you got to open, then open their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. So your mind got to burn within the scriptures.
Next. So we come on the airwaves is to make that brain get to working. See, we don't come where, you know, like, just to throw 100 scriptures on the table, your brain to burn with understanding for you to be in position to help others. And we just deal with two words based upon inauguration and papacy. So now we know what these two words mean. So that means your mind have gained some knowledge that when you see this word called, when you see the politician saying, well, is y'all coming to my inauguration? So we clear that is something coming out of ancient Rome. That custom is a ritual from ancient Rome. If you learn, so what you're ready to do is a custom that came out of ancient Rome. That is the history of it. And then the papacy is now the word means father. But then we read in 23:9 of Matthew, don't do that, children of Israel. So we're making your mind burn through the scriptures. And now we're looking for this word now called, what we're looking for now? Hey, what we got now?
What's that? Patronato real. You got P-A-T-R-O-N.
Yeah, what's that? Yeah.
Okay,
what
I'm looking
mean,
at.
Hold on. Let the other get it, let those here get it talked out. So we don't know what that word means and the origin of this word, what it's coming from. We know how they use it today, but we want to know the origin of this word and how it'll grow into whatever it is today. So that's what we're looking for. Now, bring it out there with that setup. Come on.
I'm looking at Prontonato Real in Wikipedia. It says Prontonato, a Prontage system in Spain, and a similar PADROADO system in Portugal was the expression of royal patronage, PATRONAGE, controlling major appointments of church officials and the management of church revenues. Other terms of CONCODATS, can pronounce it, or concordats with the Holy See. The resulting structure of royal power and ecclesiastical privileges was formative in Spain colonial empire and resulted in a characteristic constant intermingling of trade politics and religion. The papacy granted the power of patronage of the monarch of Spain and Portugal to appoint clerics, C-E-L-R-I-C-S, because of the monarchs were willing to subsidize missionary activities in newly conquered and discovered territories.
Mm-hmm. Now, you got a whole lot of tall rings, but, you know, but remember, we got to talk to the national audience exactly what that means. And what that means is showing you that in the 14th through the 1600s, the Pope took total control of religion. Between the late 1400s and they enslaved the indigenous peoples of America with this Catholicism. So that's what it means.
Right.
That it means how they took control of the church. And they, when they got to the place called now America, they put on the indigenous American Indians Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they started that. Total control of the church in the early 1500s to this day. So they set the foundation in the 15 and the 1600s. And they gave everybody a big belly full of Catholicism. Because the Pope took total control of the church. And they policy came to the indigenous called Indians was Northern Kingdom of Israel that was scattered over here, that was living over here,
people,
and they brought them Catholicism. So that's what we want to hear to make your mind burn. Taking control of the church from the 1500s to the present. Meaning, now let's go to Revelation 13 now. Now we don't get into subjects now. But see, we're gonna lay these words out, letting you know from the 1500s to the present, the papacy, the Roman Catholic Church, took total control of the church to this day. And this word in inauguration means a ritual coming out of ancient Rome. So I understand that we come on here to break down what these words came from, then show you where do it apply today. Because you might be saying, well, you know, I'm going to that inauguration. That's a great big word. What's that mean? I'm going, my my alderman, or my the president that I'm going to his inauguration. Oh, you're going to a ritual of ancient Rome, huh? See that? Oh, so you're going to a ritual of ancient Rome. So you see that? That's why you have to know the Bible, and we come on this network 6 nights a week to break down the Bible. Inauguration into public office is no more than a ritual of ancient Rome where it started from in the 10th century. Got it? Good. I mean, your brain is not burning. Good. Now, we're going to end time prophecy and Mother Eve. Let's go see how to read the book of Revelation 1:17-19, Mother. What did it say? 1:17-19.
Revelation chapter 1. Chapter 1:17-19.
Yes, ma'am.
Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Verse 18. I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Hallelujah. And have the key of the hell and of death. 19. Write these things which I have seen, and things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter.
So John is writing the things that's going on today, in his day, in the present, and the hereafter. Hey, Elder Matthew Israel, read me 4 verse 1 of Revelation. Revelation 4 verse 1.
Okay. In the book of Revelation, we're looking at chapter 4, verse number 1. And 1 says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it was of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.
So when John put his pen down, held up, Mother, what was told when John put his pen down in 96 A.D., according to 4 verse 1? What was told when John wrote all this information in 96 A.D.? So according to 4 verse 1 and 1:17-19, what have been told by John according to either one of them verses? Want to grab that, y'all, Ryan?
Yes, sir.
What have been told?
The hereafter.
The hereafter. So when John put his pen down, what was told when John put his pen down in 96 A.D.? So what was told again, young lion?
The hereafter.
The hereafter. So John is writing past our time, his time, and everybody's time. So when John put his pen down, the story was told. He was in prison on the Isle of Patmos, and the other lefty would kick you that probably. He's not going that way. He's on the Isle of Patmos, and what he was told was the hereafter, and he wrote it down. Now we go on and take a look at this in the 13th chapter and we're going to look at verse 1, and we'll read till we get our point. Think about 13, verse 1. Listen good now. 13, verse 1. Morning, y'all line.
All right, we're going to end time prophecy, Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 reads, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy." Verse 2, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard."
Hold on. He had a name of blasphemy. What name did he have? Although we talked here in the last lesson, you see, he had a name on his head, but that name was blasphemy. In 17, verse 6, what was that name that was a blasphemy name? Now, John is writing from 96 A.D. He's prophesying that it will be a beast, and you know what a beast means? A secular, political, from the common. That was the word beast means. It means man. It means a organization of men. That was the beast means, an organization of men to come. So we just found out about this beast. He had a name written on his forehead. Let's find out about that name. Come on, you're online in 17, verse 6. What name? We're going to get the name that he had written.
17:5.
17:5. Hmm? We'll look at verse number 6. Or is it 5? We'll make it verse 6.
I think it's
17:5. Okay, 17:5. All right, thank you. All right, 17:5 there, young man. What name that was written? When you get your name, just stop. What name he had written, and then with John writing end time prophecy of a name of blasphemy that is going to come. In the 17th chapter, what name is that that we can read in the 17th chapter? Make it verse 6. Thank you, that mother.
Hallelujah.
Make it verse 6. Verse 6. To find what name he had that was a mystery name, but his name is blasphemy. John writing from the prison system, and he said, this name is going to be the name of blasphemy. Found what that name is in 17, verse 6. What did it say there, young man?
Anti-prophecy, Revelation chapter 17, verse 6 reads, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus."
Of Jesus. So that's the name that John was prophesizing that was to come, but that name is a blasphemy name. See, that's why you have to be able to set this book up properly. They was already prophesizing John's name. It will be an organization. And what name they'll have out in front to be named, and the name will be Jesus. There's it there. 17, verse 6. Now, good. Now, going back to Nimitz, it's a stage. John is writing the hereafter from 96 A.D. The Almighty sent his angel is to lay down the things to come and the things that's going to be after, hereafter. So now we found out that it will be a name coming in prophecy to come, and this name came into place in the latter part of the 1700s, 1750s, that's when you got the name, the origin of the word Jesus. This prophecy came to fill in the 1700s. Because in the 1600s, it was the letter I. It stayed to be a letter I until the 1700s. Then it took the I and hooked it to a J. In the 1700s, it was spelled with the I in the 1600s, but the letter J did not come into play until the 1700s. So that's when the I was hooked to the J. And that's when you got the name called Jesus. Right there. See? Remember, we'd rather talk 5 words with understanding than give you 100 scriptures and then you all over the place with 100. Wow, that ministry takes you out 100 scriptures. What that mean? That don't mean nothing. We coming to edify the children of Israel that is scattered. We're not anti-anybody. We just for Israel doing our job he gave us to do. And we're showing you about the origin of words. And John was in prison according to 1, verse 9 through 11. He was told by the angel to write to the 7 churches, which is the congregation of the children of Israel, the tribe of Judah, that was in China and Japan. That's when you properly read 1, 9 through 11. And we took care of that in prior lessons for the last 2 lessons. So now we're coming back to what you read up on Revelation 13 at.
Yeah, I was reading verse 2 in Revelation chapter 13.
Okay, come on back to verse 2.
All right, Revelation chapter 13, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority.
Now,
first,
that's good enough. We got to take it. We're going to take care of that. Because like I said, again, we might well take you. We got to give them the understanding, but not give them a bunch of verses. So read that verse 2 again now. 13, 2.
Yes, sir. Revelation chapter 13, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and its feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his feet and great authority.
That's big talk. So now we're going to do, now here what we're going to do, we're going to precept some of that information and see what you're talking about. And we're going to go back to Daniel, Elder, Mr. Phil. We're going back to Daniel and see what are you talking about. We're going to Daniel by precept in the Bible, and we'll pick it at verse number 7. 7 and 17. Hey, Elder, Mr. Phil of Israel, we're going to find out what are you talking about that John is writing about. According to Daniel chapter 7 and 17. What's that here?
In the book of Daniel chapter 7, verse number 17. 17 says, these great beasts, which are 4, are 4 kings, which shall arise out of the earth.
These four beasts, what again, Elder?
These great beasts, which are 4, are 4 kings, which shall arise out of the earth.
So we find out this beast he's talking about, it's going to be 4 kings that's going to rise out of earth. Now you see what we did? You see that? You see what we all got? You see what we're working with? So when we're reading that 13 verse 2, it's not talking about no four-legged beast. It's talking about
now we're making
what the mother said, making their brains burn now. The beast he's talking about is 4 kings that's going to come out of the earth. Now, yo, read verse 17.
I read 17 want me to read 18?
No, no.
17.
Come on back. Did you read,
these
did you read
17.
Seven? Well, hold on. Well, we do want to make sure the national audience here. We want to make sure they hear it. Now, if I made a mistake saying I didn't hear it properly, you know they didn't hear it. So come on back and read verse 7 and 17 and take the time. Remember, we working with them. We already know these things, but we trying to edify them. Remember, them mother read, I'd rather do 5 words of understanding than 10,000 in the midst. So we can run and do the whole big lesson. But all we're doing is edifying ourselves. So we don't want to edify ourselves. We come to edify them. So we look at chapter 7, verse 7 and 17, and take your time and remember, we edifying them about this. Not us. We know you know it. I know it. Mothers know it. Teachers know it. Fine. But this ain't about us. It's about them. Daniel, chapter
7,
verse
7
and
14,
it'll come out.
Okay, Daniel, chapter 7, verse number 7 and 14. 7 says, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and break in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. 17. Okay, I wrote down 14. 17. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth.
Mm-hmm. So now we find out that these four beasts is going to be four kings. But he got them like the... He said, but he called them these four beasts, four kings. So why did he describe them as four beasts? The precept that he held up to Jeremiah 15, verse, remember, in last night's lesson, or night before that, we showed you that Yahweh spoke with similitude. That means a comparison to something. He comparing these kingdoms as beastly kingdom. Now, so these four kings are going to come out. They're going to be on the children of Israel like a beast get upon you. Is that what he's saying? See, this message was for the children of Israel. Because how we know it's for the children of Israel, young lion,
yes,
the book of Daniel 7:13. Can you help those see out of 7:13? Daniel 7:13.
Yes, sir. I'm going to Daniel the seer, chapter 7. Going to Daniel the seer, chapter 7, verse 13 reads. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I made a little error on that Daniel there, young man. I made a little error on that Daniel because it said for Daniel to do something, and I need a little bit more. Make that Daniel. Chapter. What do I need? I need something else. There, young man. I need something else out of Daniel. Because see, Daniel was told to do something out of the book of Daniel. And let me take me of the Bible and peek, because I need to make a little error on what he told Daniel to do. I thought it was that verse right there. Make it a little bit closer than that verse of there. Down the line. Make that verse 6:13. Thank you, that Mosey. Mosey say 6:13. 6:13. Make that 6:13. What does it say in 6:13?
All right, the book of Daniel, the seer, chapter 6, verse 13 reads, "Then answered Daniel said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regarded not you, O king, nor the decree that you had signed, but make it his petition."
That's good. So Daniel was of the children of the captivity. So Daniel's message was to get to the children of captivity. So he was instructing the children of the captivity. Yahweh's vision that four kingdoms gonna rise and they're gonna be beastly kingdoms. Now we find out what kind of beast he's talking about in 15, verse number 3, Elder. So he describes to John in the latter days these four kingdoms that's going to rise from the earth, they're going to be like beastly kingdoms. So now we got a precept there, Elder, and see what that means in Jeremiah 15 verse 3. What it say? Elder? Jeremiah 15, verse 3. What I got delayed from. We having a little microphone problem with the seer. I mean, with the L. Yeah. Take that verse, Mother. Hey, Mother E, take that verse until the L microphone is cleared up.
Book of Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 3.
15, and the word verse
3. Of
15, verse 3.
Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 3. And I will appoint over them four kings. Four kinds.
Four kinds.
There's the Yahweh. The sword to slay and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heavens and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy.
So, Mother, four beastly kingdoms, they're going to have the attribute of this, how they're going to work on the children of Israel. They're going to work with the children of Israel with the sword. That's one, Mother. So
yeah.
He said he four beasts, the kingdom, these kings gonna come in the future, John. Their characteristic would be like a sword to kill you, right? And they will have a dog to tear. So they will have, you know how one of them pit bulls, if they catch you off balance, you know how a pit bull would tear you up. Is that right, Mother?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the sword will just to slay you. So these four kings, one's going to be, he's going to be the sword man.
Mm-hmm.
Two, they're going to treat you like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
So how they gonna treat you like a dog catching you off balance? They gonna treat you like an eagle. You know how eagles step high in the air and fly down on you and pick you up. I don't care. You are healthy. An eagle can reach down and grab a little baby elephant with a strong paw and take you up high and drop you back down and bust you wide open. And the beast of the earth. So that is a mother. So when John is writing about these four kings, it's going to come and they're going to do you some damage. They're not going to teach you right, children of Israel. So that was he reading the end time prophecy. And remember, it ain't going past the four kingdoms. It's not going to be a fifth kingdom. So these four kingdoms, the fourth kingdom have to exist now. See that? Now we're going to do some precept on that fourth kingdom. By the spirit, young lion.
Yes, sir.
Look at a little precept on the fourth kingdom. Now, so this fourth kingdom is not going to teach you right. This fourth kingdom is not going to teach you right. Well, it's not time for Matthew Paul. It's not time yet. They God is calling already. So, we got a, you know, big organizations ready to start calling already. They got to wait. So we are laying the foundation. A lot of work got to be done. So now look what we've learned so far. We have learned that these four beasts, these kings, they ain't going to teach the children of Israel right. They're going to teach you just like you say, you work me like a dog. You heard that statement before, mother? You work me like a dog.
Yeah.
So now you see what we're going to find out? John is right about some to come. And they're going to kill Israel like a dog. They're going to put the sword on the children of Israel. They're going to treat him like a dog. They're going to treat him like the eagle treat his prey. You know what eagle do? Eagle lay back there just behind there. And he can look a long way. And the eagle just swoop down on you and pick you up and take you where when he drops you, you'll land on some concrete somewhere. Oh, a high mountain, bust wide open. He'll take you and feed you to himself or to the baby. A beast is talking about men. Matter of fact, what's in 50:7 of Jeremiah? See, we don't know where we're going, but you have to understand these words mean something to you if you apply them right. Jeremiah 50:7, what it say, mother?
Look at Jeremiah chapter 50:7. And all that found them have devoured them, and their adversaries said, "We offend not." Because they have sinned against Yahweh, the habitation of justice, even the Yahweh, the hope of their father.
So we're in captivity and trouble today, mother, according to verse 7. Why? Why are we in captivity and in trouble today, according to Jeremiah 50:7? Why?
Because they sin against. Because they sin against Yahweh.
There you go right there, mother. So you see why we're in trouble today? And he sent these four last kings. And you're in the fourth kingdom right now. So, on the second Ezra, mother, young lad, we're going to second Ezra, And young and our elder, when your microphone has been cleared up, say hallelujah, wow, then we know you back on the scene because WCC said they gotta clean your microphone up for some reason. So just catch it by saying hallelujah, wow, we know you back ready. We go on to Second Ezra. You're learning. You wanna look at a statement in Second Ezra, chapter 11. We'll pick it up verse 36 and read a little bit. Second Ezra, chapter 11, verse 36. Hey, Elder, say hallelujah, why in your microphone, then we know DC have cleared your microphone back up. And once we hear it, we know we can assume we're on back on what we're doing. Come on, young line of... Give me that
11:36
and read a little bit. Come on.
Are we going to the book of Second Ezra, chapter 11, verse 36? Reads, then I heard a voice which said unto me, look before you and consider the thing that you see it. Verse 37. And I beheld, and lo, as it were a roaring lion chased out of the wood, and saw that he sent out a man's voice unto the eagle and said, verse 38, hear you, I will talk with you, and the highest shall slay unto you, shall say unto you. Verse 39, are not you it that remained of the four beasts who I made you to rule in my world, that the end of their times might come through them? Verse 40, and the fourth came and overcame all the beasts that were past and had power over the world and great fearfulness and over the whole capacity of the earth, but much wicked oppression. And so long time drew he upon the earth with deceit. Verse 41, for the earth has you not judged with truth. Verse 42, for you have afflicted the meek, you have hurt the peaceable, you have loved liars and destroyed the dwellings of them that brought forth fruit and has cast down the walls of such as did you no harm. Verse 43, therefore is your wrongful dealings come upon the highest, Yahweh, and your pride unto the mighty. Verse 44, the highest also should look upon the proud times, and behold, they are ended, and its abominations are fulfilled. Verse 45, and therefore appear no more, you eagle, nor your horrible wings, nor your wicked feathers, nor your malicious heads, nor your hurtful claws, nor all your vain body. Verse 46, that all the earth may be refreshed and may return, being delivered from your violence, and that she may hope for the judgments and mercy of him that made her.
You mean Ezra was told about this fourth kingdom? Remember, it's not going past the fifth. They said the fourth kingdom, it rules, but it ruled with oppression. It used deceit. And they love life. And he said his system is fourth kingdom, and they love life. If you tell what Yahweh is saying, you don't like that. You love life. So this fourth kingdom, remember, it's not going to be a fifth kingdom. This is prophecy about a king that their symbol will be the eagle. And they will be running things. And they love life. And they love deceit. But he says, your time will come to end, you fourth kingdom. Yeah. You mean, see, the Bible is telling you exactly how this thing will unfold. Written by John in 96 AD. So if you find yourself in this time, and you're in your time now, the fourth kingdom, now you got to identify now who is this fourth kingdom that have all this power and rule by deceit. I know you know already, but, you know, hey, you see how easy it is to know some things by just using the Bible and understand where you're hearing it from. So now let's come back to the Revelation End Time Prophecy, young lion. You read 11
yes,
12.
Sir.
Now let's read verse 13. Let's see what verse 13 says.
Okay, we still at Revelation chapter 13. Yes, okay, Revelation
verse
chapter 13.
You'll check here, 11 and 12. Now let's do, now we clear now. Let's take care of 13.
Okay. All right, Revelation chapter 13, verse 13. Revelation chapter 13, verse 13 reads, and he doeth great wonders, so that he make fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. Verse 14.
Hold on, young. No, we're not trying to read about the verses. We want to deal with 13.
Right.
You find out that it's 13. John is right by. If you find yourself in time and you see this, you say he's going to do what in verse 13, 13?
Book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 13. He doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man.
Now, what prophecy? So who we know in prophecy that made fire come down from earth inside of men? Now, our mother, let's see what is they doing in going to Ezekiel, First Kings, make it Second Kings, chapter 1. Look at verse 10 there, mother. Let's find out what they're talking about. He said this beast of the fourth kingdom gonna make fire come down from earth. Where did you get that from? Where did you get that idea from? We'll find out where you get that idea from, mother, by going to chapter 1, verse 10. And let's read a little bit and see where did that mindset come from?
Second Kings, chapter 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's find out. Hey, mother, what we going to do? We going to find out. It was told to John that this fourth beast kingdom, which is is going to do some things. They're going to make fire come down from heaven. Now, we want to know where did they get that idea from. Told it's going to happen. And we're going to go to First Kings. I'm making Second Kings 1:10. Yes, ma'am. We're going to find out something in Second Kings. Where that mindset come from? So what were they doing? We're on Second Kings chapter 1. But we're trying to get some information, mother.
Second Kings
chapter 1. And we're going to pick it up at read verse 9, because I'm not in no hurry to deal with this. Read verse 9.
Oh, yeah.
2 Kings chapter 1, verse 9. Verse 9 read, then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him. And behold, he sat on the top of a hill, and he speak unto him. Thus, man of Yahweh, the king has said, come down.
Okay. Good, mother. Good, mother. Right there, mother. Hold on, mother. So a message came to the man of Yahweh from the king. And he sent 50 officers with the man to go eyeball to eyeball to seer. And he said the king's word. And when they seen this man, which was a man of Yahweh, he said, come down. The king said, come down. But now this king, this man with 50 officers, came before the man of Yahweh and said, the king said, come down. You got it, mother? You got it so far? All right. Of the king. And they come to the man of Yahweh, and he said, the king said, come down. You got it, mother? And we're at the next verse, king. And we're at the next verse, king.
Verse 10. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of Yahweh, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50.
Hey, that's something. They came to deliver the seer up. Hey, mother. They came to deliver the seer up. And they came with paperwork saying, you tell that seer, come down. The king got word for you. And the seer said to them, to the man, along with the 50 officers that he got, he said, if I be a man of Yahweh, then let fire from Yahweh come down from heaven and burn y'all tail, burn all the men that you got with you, burn them up. And immediately Yahweh sent that fire out and burnt their tail up. You hear that, mother?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened next in verse? And what happened next in verse 11?
Verse 11. And also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50, and he answered and said unto him, O man of Yahweh, thus has the king said, come down quickly.
Now they sent another king, another big dignitary with 50 more men.
Mm-hmm.
And he put a word in. The king said, come down quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's talking, mother. You hear what he's saying, mother? Come down quickly. Another 50 came. And what happened next in verse 12?
Verse 12. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 12. And Elijah answered and said unto him, if I be a man of Yahweh, let the fire come down from heaven and consume thee, and the 50, and the 50, and the fire of Yahweh come down from heaven and consume him and his 50.
Mm-hmm. He told the next man with his 50, six dignitaries. He said, if I be a man of Yahweh, now, what if he say, let Yahweh send fire out and burn their tail up. And Yahweh immediately burnt their tail up. So that's 100 men has been destroyed. Is that right, brother?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, now, what happened next in 13?
Verse 13. And he said again, captains of the 33rd 50 with your 50, and the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah, besought him and said unto him, O man of Yahweh, I pray thee, let my life and the life of this 50, thy servant, be precious in thy sight.
So, Mother, what have you got out of that so far? So what have you got out of that? Although the big king came down and sent 50 men, and the man say, come down. The king want to talk to you. He said, well, if I be a man of Yahweh, let fire come down from heaven and burn y'all tail up. Immediately, fire came from heaven, bowed, burnt their tail up. Then he sent 50 more men and said, the king said, come down, and you come down quickly. He said, if I be a man of Yahweh, then let the fire from heaven come down and burn your tail up too. And then it burned up too. Then he sent another big dignitary with it, but this one had some knowledge. The first thing he did when he got before the man of Yahweh, what did he do, Mother? He fell to his knees and said, man of Yahweh, pay our life. Don't deliver us up. So he went, so he seen that the power of Yahweh gonna prevail. So he came and said all the right things, Mother. See, you gotta say the right things in the presence of the fears. And see, that's what, and see, that's the knowledge we don't have today. We don't know that it's written in 54:17, our young line. What is it that we can read in 54:17? Isaiah.
All right, we're going to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. Going to Isaiah this year, chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh, and their righteousness is of me, said Yahweh.
Yeah. So this third big secretary, he understood that this thing is too big, and you just don't come before the fear like you come before a regular man. You got to do the right thing. And by him doing the right thing, you know, he felt the first thing he did, because when he got rid of 4:6 of Surat there. Young line, what can we read out of Surat? 4:6.
Go to the book of Surat this year, chapter 4, verse 6. Surat chapter 4, verse 6. For if he curse you in the bitterness of his soul, his prayer should be heard of him that made him.
See, once you follow the order of Yahweh, there ain't no weapon formed against you going to prosper. And if the fear decides to curse you in the bit of his mind, you're going to come to nothing. That's the inheritance of the right. See, it's a lot of things we need to know before we just jump down and start taking everybody is everything. Yahweh got order about things, and if we get in order, he's going to make a move. Now, we know clearly that these four big kingships is no friend to you, because they're going to treat you like a dog. They're going to treat you like an eagle looking for something to eat. They're going to put a sword on you, a bullet, what we call a bullet, and the man's going to have bad mindset on you. And we read in 50 verse 7, and all nations is part of delivering you up. So now once you know these things, then you won't continue. Keep on making the same old move. And now you understand what the word inauguration means, papacy means, and the word that the Catholic Church forced their way on all the churches from the 1500s to the present. So now you don't got a lot of information now. So now if you chose to not apply none of this information, that's up to you. We're not coming on this broadcast and just throw 100 scriptures out. We can't do it. But But what good is that doing that if you're not edified? We try to edify you. What do this mark of the beast mean? The mark of the beast. We don't want you to be speculating. We want you to know what it means. And we know now it's coming from the fourth kingdom. You're in the fourth kingdom as we speak now. This is it. It ain't no kingdom in power after this. Because the next one that's going to rule is written in the book of 2nd Ezra 6:6-9. I'll make that math be chapter 6:6-9. Which one we want? We're going to find out after this beastly kingdom is over, who is the next one that's going to rule? Let's see who's going to be the fifth, the next ruler after this priestly system is over that we can read. We're going to see if we can read that, young lion. We want to be clear that once you come up out of this, 2 Maccabees 6:6-9, what happened?
All right, we're going to 2 Maccabees chapter 6, verse 6-9. 2 Maccabees chapter 6, verse 6 reads, neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath days, or ancient feasts, or profess himself at all to be Judah. Verse 7. And in the day of the king's birth, every month, they were brought by bitter constraint to eat of the sacrifices. And when the feast of Barnabas, the feast of Bacchus was kept, Judah were compelled to go in possession to Bacchus, carry ivy. Verse 8, moreover, then would I decree of the neighbor city of the heathen nation of Esau, and by suggestions of Ptolemy against Judah, that they should observe the same fashions and be partakers of their sacrifices. Verse 9, whoso would not conform themselves to the matter of the Gentiles, nations, should be put to death. Then might a man have seen the present misery.
So it was a decree going out by the kingdom that's in power today, their forefathers and mothers. And the fourth kingdom, now back up to 2nd Ezra, chapter 6, and pick that up at 6-9.
Yes, sir. We're going to the book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 6, verse 6-9. 2nd Ezra, chapter 6, verse 6 reads, then did I consider these things, and they were all made through me alone, and through none other, by me also. They should be ended by one, by none other. Verse 7. Then answer I and said, what should be the parting asunder of the times? And where should the end of the first and the beginning of it that followeth? Verse 8. And he said unto me, from Abraham unto Isaac, and when Jacob and Esau were born of him, Jacob's hand held first the heel of Esau. Verse 9. For Esau is the end of the world, and Israel is the beginning of it that followed.
So now we see it, once you take down this fourth beastly kingdom that's in power today, the next ruler will be the children of Israel. So now you see that. Now, after the fourth kingdom that's in power today, he's taken out of the way, the next ruler will be the 12 tribes of Israel. See? That's why you better figure out what you're doing and what side you're going to be on, because the next ruler will be the children of Israel. That was the prophecy say. So after, it's not going past the fourth kingdom The fourth kingdom is in place as we speak. Once the Almighty is tired of it and then we reach the number, the next ruling power will be the 12 tribes of Israel. Israel to follow. So that's it. So now you clear that Israel to follow. Now, let's go back to Revelation again. So now we're going to tuck in that verse. What's the next verse say?
All right. Back to Revelation chapter 13.
Every verse we can touch on, and we can spend a whole 3 hours on it, but we're not. Every verse got all the answers through the precepts. So I understand that we have the answers, but it's through the precepts that you got to hear it, and we're trying to edify you. But you don't understand what you need to do to be on the right side and not on the left side. Let's even say in the next verse.
All right, I'm back in Revelation chapter 13. I'm now reading verse 3. Revelation chapter 13, verse...
You mean verse 3? You reading verse 3? With them others?
I said that correct? Revelation 13.
Okay.
Okay.
When we in Revelation 13,
yeah. Verse 13, to make power come down. Yeah, thank you, everybody, Mother E.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
So, exactly. So now, we read that
Israel
to follow. That this beast system made fire come down. So where did they get that from? Where did they get that from to even come with that kind of mindset? Young
Lion,
can you recall where he got that from?
We just read, Second Kings, chapter 1, verse 9 to 13.
That's exactly right. So that's where that's coming from. Now, where is in history did they implement that at? When did they implement that in history? See, what they do, they will read your book, and they will do some things, be a prophecy, and get themselves the credit of it. So now we find out that that came from the seer, saying, if I be the man of Yahuwah, then let fire come down from heaven and burn y'all tail up. So now, when did this happen in our time that this fourth kingdom made fire come down from heaven and burn up some tail? What did that? Himoshimi and Nagasaki, it happened over there in China, in Japan, in 1948. Bring up what happened with Himoshima and Nagasaki, and what year was that? So what they done? They fulfilled prophecy and thought they had done a great thing, but it already was told that they were going to do this on the people in John's days of 96. So bring it up, a young line. What happened in 1948? That was the year when the United States of America dropped an atomic bomb on Japan. What year was that again? When they put that United States dropped some bombs on Japan. And let's see what it said behind that.
All right, I'm going to my computer. We have to log in real quick. Okay.
When did that happen? When did that fulfillment come? When the United States of America, the fourth kingdom, dropped an atomic bomb on Japan, what year did they do that?
Okay. Okay, what year did.
They do that?
Okay, what year did the United States or China?
August 9th, 1945. What did the United States do? August 9th, 1945. What did they do? That was you want.
Okay.
You want the world to hear what they did.
Okay. What the United States do August 9th, 1945?
Yeah, what did they do? Yeah, what did they do?
Okay. 1945. I'm calling it up now. Okay, August 9th, 1945. Atomic bombing of NAGAS Nagasaki, United States B-29 bomber. Bokus dropped a plutonium 239 atomic bomb, come the name Fat Man, on the Japanese city of Nagasaki at 11:02 a.m. local time, resulting between 39,000 and 80,000 deaths.
Well, you see what happened? See, John called it in 96 A.D., Mother. That the fourth kingdom was going to drop a bomb down, and they were going to say fire came from heaven. And but that was them dropping an atomic bomb, and they killed 129,000 one time and 226,000 the next time. And you know what happened after that? The Japanese and the Chinese and everybody went and got them a picture of the image because they said they made fire come down from there. So they were ringing with them two big atomic bombs dropped. It came from the airplane, and that's when the United States was the God-like country because they say God is with them. Because all they seen in the air was fire. Everywhere, and they use that verse right there out of Kings, fire came down from heaven. Like they said, God was with them. That's why it says, "In God we trust." So they dropped that bomb, that atomic bomb, down on the Japanese, and everybody from that point on went and got them a picture of Jesus Christ, and that's why you see it from that point on to this day. See. And that's why you got the picture, your grandmama got the picture of Jesus Christ looking like them out of the four kings. So you see what it is for you? So now that's it. Now let's go back and read verse 14. Now we're going to Revelation, the entire prophecy, 13, 14.
Right, Book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 14 reads, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by his sword and did live." Verse 15.
So now,
yeah.
That's it. Hold on, young lion. Hold on. We're going nowhere. You were saying 14 for a minute. You're going to read a bunch of verses. None of them. I'm sure we don't need you to read no verses up. We want to break down what's going on for you to have it, and then you can go from there. Verse 14. Read verse 14 again.
Revelation chapter 13, verse 14. "It deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by its sword and did live."
What happened to verse 14 again?
Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. "It deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast."
What miracles? What miracles was done? We just got to read the miracles that dropped. They dropped the bomb.
Hallelujah.
And said, the Almighty God is with us. When they dropped them atomic bombs down on Hiroshima and Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they deceived the Japanese. They said, now you see God is with us because God dropped that fire down from heaven like Elijah the seer did on them fifth. No, your atomic bomb that you had in them airplanes dropped that atomic bomb on them people. But you taking that and use it as God was with y'all on what you're doing with the prophesizing, the fourth beast kingdom going to do that. But they're going to see you as you see today. Yeah. So you've been deceived today. You believe everything that fourth beast got on the table. And now, and that's how you got the mark, which is spiritual. So now you got the image of the beast. And the image of the beast is his policy. Everything he put on the table, you hook, line, and sinker behind, right? And that's why you, you tell your mama, your grandmama, or your grandpa that Jesus Christ is a man of color, although you read out the Bible, that they got that picture, that image in their head, that he's a white man like the Pope over there in Rome. And you can't figure that out. Yes, you ain't gonna get out the head. You been deceived. So you have the mark already. Right there, because that's where you was deceived. Right there. So you got the mark already by being deceived by them miracles. So that's why he able to say he's a papa. He's a papacy, meaning a papa. And everybody wonders after this beast. See? So there it is down. So John is writing this in 96 A.D. But for time's sake, let's go to verse 15. Now let's read verse 15.
The book of Revelation chapter 13, verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed.
Now you see that? Now you see that? So if you don't worship the image of the beast, you're going to be killed. Yeah. So this, well, what is his image? Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Are you worshiping? Lord God and Jesus. Skinny jeans. That's his image. If you don't line and sinker on his image is due for you to ignore what's written in the Bible, what you read already. Now read again that, again, come back to the book called Maccabees 6:6-9 again. Now come back to Maccabees again. Now you tell me where you stand.
Yes,
sir. So this is what they pulled on you, and let's tell me what's going on. Look what's said here. And mother had me Maccabees 1:41. Wait, no. Maccabees chapter 1:41. Read second book of Maccabees 6:6 down to verse 9 again, that young line.
All right, the book of second Maccabees chapter 6, verse 6 to 9. Second Maccabees chapter 6, verse 6 reads, neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath days, or ancient feasts, or profess himself at all to be Judah. Verse 7, and in the day of the king's birth, every month, they were brought by bitter constraint to eat of the sacrifice. And when the feast of Bacchus was kept, Judah were compelled to go in possession to Bacchus, carrying ivory. Verse 8, moreover, they went out of decree to the neighbor cities of the nation. by suggestions of Ptolemy against Judah, that they should observe the same fashions and be partakers of their sacrifice. Verse 9, whoso will not conform themselves to the matter of the Gentiles, nations should be put to death. Then might a man have seen the present misery.
Yeah. So he's saying now, if you don't get with the system, it's all, and they read this, so we got to all be one people, and whatever you got on the table, put that to the side. Children of Israel were told to keep the Sabbath day, sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. They said, no, we're going to keep day of the week. We're going to sign with
mm-hmm.
you. What's your mama do? They'll say, that was your mama, your aunties, and your uncles do. They sign worship it. And that was your brothers do. Sign worship it. So they ain't where it comes from. Now, watch the mother he reads in Maccabees 1:41. Read a little bit, mother. Come out.
It's Maccabees chapter 1, verse 41. Verse 41 reads, moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people. 42.
Yeah, mother. So now remember, the king wrote, and you got to be how many people now, mother?
Wrote to his whole kingdom.
Yeah, his whole kingdom.
All that all should be one people.
What?
Are we all
well, now you see, one people. Now what happened next, mother?
Verse 42. And everyone should live his laws. And everyone should lead his laws.
Yes.
So all the nations agreed according to the commandments of the king.
Now let me say, mother. That means whatever you got, whatever your fathers have told you, you know, keep Sabbath day, feast day, Exodus 23, leave that alone. And all the nations agree.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened next, mother? And what happened next?
Three. Yea, many also of the Israelites consented to his religion and sacrificed unto idols.
So many, well, hold on, mother. So many Israelites became what? So many Israelites became Christians.
Mm-hmm.
See, after you told them what you got coming, so many of the Israelites, the one you call African American Negroes, then he became Christian. And that was your mama here, your daddy, Uncle Buck, Aunt Willie Mae. They all became Christians. They all became Sunday worshipers. Huh? So now you go to history. Come on, read some more, mother.
Okay. Verse 43. No,
mm-hmm.
Verse 47. For the king has sent letters by messengers.
Huh. I said verse 43.
Oh, okay. Yea, many also of the Israelite Christians consented to his religion and sacrificed unto idols and profaned the Sabbath. Okay.
Go ahead.
Verse 44, but the king had sent letters by messengers unto Joshua, Judah, and the cities mm-hmm. of Judah, that they should
mm-hmm.
follow the strange laws of the land. Verse 45, and forbidden burnt offerings and sacrifice and drink offering in the temple, and that they should profane the Sabbath and feasts, festivals, feast days.
Oh, yeah, well.
verse 46, and polluted the sanctuary and hollered, polluted the
righteous
sanctuary.
People.
I didn't understand. And polluted the sanctuary. 46.
I read verse 47. And Young Lion speaking with verse 48.
Yes,
47.
Sir.
Set up altars and groves and chapels of idols and sacrifice swine blood and unclean beast.
All right. All right. First,
go ahead.
All right, First Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 48, that they should also lead their children uncircumcised and make their souls abominable with all matter of uncleanness and profanation. Verse 49, to the end that they might forget the law and change all the ordinance. Verse 50, and whosoever... Go ahead.
Yeah, continue all the way down.
All right, verse 50. Whosoever would not do according to the commandment of the king, he said he should die. Verse 51. In the self-same matter, wrote he to his whole kingdom and appointed overseers over all the people, commanded the cities of Judah to sacrifice city by city. Verse 52. Then many of the people were gathered unto death, to wit, everyone that forsook the law. So they committed evils in the land. Verse 53, and drove the Israelites into secret places, even wheresoever they could flee for succor. Verse 54, now on the 15th day of the month, Kazu, December, at the 145th year, they set up abomination of desolation upon the altar and built idol altars throughout the cities of Judah on every side. Verse 55, and burnt incense at the doors of their houses and in the streets. Verse 56, and when they rent in pieces the books of the law, which they found, they burnt them with fire. Verse 57. And whatsoever was found with any of the book of the covenant, or if any considered to the law, the king's commandment was that they should put him to death. Verse 58. Thus did they, by their authority, unto the Israelites every month, to as many as were found in the city. Verse 59, now in the 5th and 20th day of the month, they did sacrifice upon the idol altar, which was upon the altar of Yahuwah. Verse 60, at which time, according to the commandment, they put to death certain women which had called their children to be uncircumcised. Verse 61, and they hanged the infant about their necks, and riffled their houses, and slew them that had circumcised them. Verse 62.
That's good. Read verse 52 and 56 again. Verse 52 and verse 56. What does it say?
First Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 52 and 56. First Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 52. Then many of the people were gathered unto them, to wit, everyone that forsook the law, so they committed evils in the land.
So when you forsook the law, of this Bible, what have you did?
You committed evil.
You see that? Did you know when you don't keep the law, you're doing evil? You know that, did you? Verse 56.
Verse 56, and when they had written in pieces
the books of the law, which they found, they burnt them with fire.
So what the big dignitaries done, if they made you, if they found you with any kind of information, they would take it out of your hand, slap you in your mouth, and burn it with fire. And that's the reason why now you became a New Testament Christian. You don't know why you became a New Testament Christian. No. Because your forefathers knew if they had anything based upon the foundational, so they told their kids, don't worry about none of that, leave that alone for you to live. So now you became New Testament Christians, and they tell you, you ain't got to go past Matthew's no more, because that's been done away with. Not knowing that you got hit in the mouth and killed for reading. You got caught hit in the mouth for reading from reading Genesis 2 verse 3. So you couldn't read no more Genesis 2 verse 3. What it say?
Book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 3. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. And Yahweh blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which Yahweh created and made.
You couldn't read that no more, Mother. You have to be on the blessed day of the beast day. You have to come on the blessed day, what they call a day called the Lord's Day, sun worshiping. You can't do no more Bible. They bought that up and told you don't teach your kids nothing about none of that. You will put you to death and your kid to death. And so that's the reason right now that same fear is in us today. And that's why you still got the long to run to a Sunday church and see you dress up to the max and you break out running, get into a sun worshiping church, and don't know the history of where it came from. That's why we take our time to show you the history of things. Now we're going to verse 15. Now we'll take that 14, let's do 15. Now let's do 15, young lion. Revelation, remember John writing it. The hereafter, he writing of what we're going through the rest of the day. John wrote it in 96 A.D. What are you writing 13, 15?
All right, Book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 15. And he had power to give light unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as leading as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed.
So he gave power to this image of the beast. So we walking around, the majority of us, with the image, meaning the mark of the beast. We have it already. Because the mark of the beast is his system, his way. So you already got it. You already got it. Did you find this way? Huh? Yeah. Are you doing what the way that Yahweh told you to do with the 15th chapter? Young Lion, 15, number 15. 37 through 41. This is Yahweh's way, but he gave you a way too. Let's see, do you follow his ways or you follow the system's way? You call the mark or the beast. Let's see you who mark you got. Let's see, do you have Yahweh's? Let's find out what Yahweh mark is. We're going to number 15, 37 through 41. What is it?
The Book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse 37 through 41. Numbers, chapter 15, verse 37, reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 38, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, that they put upon the fringe of the border a red band of blue. Verse 39, and it should be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of Yahweh and do them, and that ye seek not after your own mind and your own eyes, after which you used to go a whoring. Verse 40, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be righteous unto your Yahweh.
Yeah.
Verse 40.
So Yahweh, he gave you his mark. But what mark do you have? Do you have his mark? Or do you have the beast mark, which means the man system? What mark you got? Yeah. So the mark you come, it's not a chip. The mark is you disobeying Yahweh's law. You following the beast law. So you're being inaugurated into the beast law. So now there go your inauguration. Because you following what the beast got on table. But mother, hey, Mother Eve, in Surah 19:19 and verse 20 says what? This is what mother says, what mother get ready to read in Surah chapter 19, verse 19 and 20. Surah chapter 19,
19
and
20. Surah chapter 19, verse 19 and 20. Okay, let me get there. 16. Surah chapter 19, verse 19 to 20. That's just 19 and 20. Surah chapter 19, verse 19. The knowledge of the commandments of the Yahweh is the doctrine of life, and they that do things that pleases him shall receive the fruit of the tree of immortality. 20. The fear of the Yahweh is all wisdom, and in all wisdom is the performance of the law and the knowledge of his
mother, the only way you gonna get his knowledge, you wanna do what? Keep the law that he got in the book. So when the old people say they got his knowledge, that's contrary to the Bible, because the only way you understand his rules and regulations, remember we read in Monday's lesson what a God complex is and a Jehovah complex is. The God complex is to hear the truth, but just ignore it and just block your mind out from it. So remember, that what a God complex is and a Jehovah complex is to deny and fight like everything you can, cannot believe what the Bible says, and think you're going to make it all the way. You're going to make it all the way in the world, but you're not going to get in the kingdom because he's telling you now. The fear of Yahweh is all wisdom, and he ought to give you wisdom if you keep his law. You will hear it, but it will get away from you. Because he told you, I'm not going to give it to you unless you keep his law. Now, who was he talking to, mother, in Deuteronomy 4, verse 1 and 2? And look what he says in Deuteronomy's mother, verse 4, 1 and 2. Look what he says.
Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, but to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Yahweh of your fathers give you. Verse 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish off from it, that you might keep the commandment of the Yahweh, your Yahweh, which I command you.
Mm-hmm. They tell the children of Israel, you know what I'm saying? He said, I said then, and I mean it today. You don't add nothing to it. I told you what I want you to do to get you my mother give me to get you a 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. I told you what it takes for me. But we not gonna pay it, no, never mind. 1 John 3:22. No, what it say? 1 John 3:22.
First John chapter 3:22. First John chapter 3:22 reads. After these things came Yahweh the Son. After these things
said
came
first
Yahweh.
John. You're not reading 1 John 3:22.
1 John. Okay, 1 John. I'm reading John. John 3:22. Come here. Look at 1 John the 3. Verse 22.
Uh-huh.
1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because he keeps his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Yeah. Keeping Sunday, you ain't pleasing his sight, but he ain't not give you Sunday. So you're not doing what pleases him in his sight, but you pleasing somebody else. Come back in your mind. We're going to Revelation 10, the next birthday. Yeah, let's find the next birthday.
All right, Revelation chapter 13. I'll write them at verse 16. Revelation chapter 13, verse 16, read. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their forehead.
Mm-hmm. So he say he called small and great to receive that mark. And what if that mark is that they receive? Small and great. He said, everybody, out of this fourth kingdom, everybody receive that mark. Small and great. What is that we can read? Let's go to Acts chapter 8, young lion. What have they received?
Yes, sir.
Let's see that mark they have received that we can read in Acts chapter 8. What is the mark that they have received that we can read? We go on to Acts chapter 8 and pick up 7 down to verse 11. Let's find out that mark. He called small and great to receive that mark. And all that come out of the fourth kingdom, the last kingdom, the next ruler will be the 12 tribes of Israel. So right now, do you have a mark of the beast? And what is the mark of the beast called today? Let's find out. It is what? You being what? You can find out in the 8th chapter of Acts, verse 7 down to verse 11. What does it say?
The book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 7 to 11. Acts chapter 8, verse 7 reads, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, come out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with saucies, and that were lame were healed.
Mm-hmm.
verse 8. And there was a great joy in that city. Verse 9. There came a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Verse 10. To whom they all give heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of Yahweh. Verse 11. And to him they had regarded, because that a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries.
That same thing that the head of the Christian church doing right now, he is bewitching you with sorcery. So that mob that you have right now, and the ones that's pushing that mob big time, it's the Roman Catholic Church and those that are Christians. So they're saying, come out of this Bible, they go contrary to the Bible. There's nothing in the Bible they keep. Nothing. What? What do you keep? Sunday is the wrong day. The name is the wrong day. The feast day is the wrong feast day. They tell you in the 11th chapter of Leviticus, don't eat no hog. You eat all the hogs and get your mouth on. They tell you where friends is, and you say, no, I'm a West Kennedy James. Good? So, do you have a mob? What you say? Yes, you being bewitched? What you say? Come on back and read a little bit more of that, young lion. Let's read 17 and 18.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, let's read 17 and 18. See?
Revelation.
This right here, this right here, it's just so much information. We try to make your mind burn. Why do you do everything contrary to this? You might think you got to call your papa, the father, papacy, father. Don't you know we supposed to call no man father on earth? Well, you know, but you got to tell who bagging me up and who bagging the Bible up. See, that's why you got to know what the Bible's saying and where you get his power from. Come on now, y'all lying. Come on. Couple verses. Let's get Mother Z up in here.
All right, Revelation chapter 13, verse 17 and verse 18. Revelation chapter 13, verse 17. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that have the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name.
You got it. That's three things in there. That's three. You got, it's 3 points in there. But now you read 17 and 18, young man.
I read verse 17. I'm at verse 18 now.
But read verse 17 again a little bit slower.
Okay. Revelation chapter 13, verse 17. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name.
So that's three things you got. Verse 17. 13, 17. What verse you read it again?
I just got to read in verse 17.
Okay, well, I want to keep that for a minute. It says, and that no man may buy or sell unless he have the mark. The mark is one thing. Or the name of the beast. Two things. Or the number of his name. You got to have three things here. He said, and that no man might buy or sell unless he that have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. He said, you got to know. You got to have the number of his name. And then what 18 say?
Revelation chapter 13, verse 18 reads, here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding.
This is for a war that got understanding.
Yes. Verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast. What is the number?
Hold on. You got to count the number of the beast. Go ahead.
Yes. What is the number of a man?
For it is the number of a man. Go ahead.
And this number is 600, 666.
And his number is 666. That's his number, 666. Now, in the modern night lesson, we're going to take care of that. His number is 666. This man's number is 666. Take care of the mom. Let's bring in mother. Hey, Mother E, Mother Z. Mother Z, you want to shout at some of this or this?
Yahweh, take you or know direction. Let's see what you're gonna work with, Mother Z. Mother Z, one of the mothers out of Camp One. Yahweh, be there, Mother Z. She ain't coming still, not right now. Oh, okay. Oh, she gonna double up tomorrow.
That's a great thing. So we found out that this march is not physical, it is spiritual. This is a spiritual. Now, Mother, what can we read in Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 through 12? Probably I just can just don't even come in because time don't run out. Let's see what you got, what you read out of Revelation chapter 14. Verse 9 down to verse 12. Come on.
9 to 12.
Yeah.
Revelation 14, verse 9 to 12.
Yeah.
Revelation 14, verse 9. Verse 9 reads, and the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Verse 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Yahweh, which is poured out without mixture unto the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the righteous ministering spirit, and in the presence of the Lamb. Verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever received the mark of his name. Verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahweh the Son.
So
it's when
you gotta have patience, Mother. Because if you get this mark, and you know they wait for the mark to be shown on TV, Mother, but the mark is worshiping the beast. The mark is worshiping, Mother. That's what the mark is worshiping. Where the beast got on the table, you worship that. So if you worship the beast system, then you have the mark already. If you worship his system. The name that was shown to you was blasphemy. This program, you got the idol. As a matter of fact, you even try to talk like the beast. You got all this going. You might call somebody you know while they're at their job or something, and you can't recognize their voice. He says, you don't ever talk that way when you around me. Oh, I'm at work now. Oh, do what you're saying. I got to put on my work board. See that? So, here we do. We walk, talk, act like the beach system. And he said, if you see that, Mom, you're in trouble. Now, Mother, give me verse 13, verse 8 in the closing statement. And we'll get back on tomorrow, Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. Give me Revelation 13, verse 8, Mother, in closing statement.
Revelation 13, 8.
Yep.
Oh, 14, 8. Okay, Revelation.
13, 8.
Okay. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
You see that, Moses? He said, all earth are worshiping him. I mean, regardless, Nico and Elway tell you all what the man's saying, but they ain't gonna pay up no never mind, Mother. They all gonna worship him that got his name and his image. And we know one thing, the majority of us when we praying in our mind is that white man image. It's in our mind. When we pray, all our mind has been sealed with a hot iron. We can't tell no difference. We believe some pictures we see and the way we see it in our Bibles, the way we see it on the media and in our church. You can't tell us no difference. It's just sealed like a hot iron. White man Jesus Christ is just sealed in our head and we can't get it out. That man over there, the Pope of Rome, which is Satan man, called Papa, the Papacy. That man can do no wrong in our eyesight. He is the man of God on earth. And you can't tell us no difference. That's just the way it is. So, Mother, your closing statement behind that, and we'll be back on our way tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Do we have that mark? Yes, we do. But if you're a Christian, you have the mark of the beast, of a man system that come out of Rome that started that, putting it together in the 1500s to the present. They rule everything up under the Christian church. They is the boss. And young lion going to have the third book. 26:12, Enoch, and we will show you who he worships. Who he worships. 6:12, after Mother closed out. Come on, Mother.
Thank you and praising Yahweh for the class. Thank you and praising Yahweh for the teacher and for the one that's listening. And I'm going to read out of the book of John. Chapter 3, and start at verse 1, and read down to verse 5. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same come to Yahweh by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from Yahweh. For no man can do those things, do those miracles that thou doest, except Yahweh be with him. Verse 3. Yahweh the Son answered and said unto him, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. Verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be bone. Yahweh the Son answered, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Hallelujah.
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 Right, Mo. That's right. Excellent on your part. Get the knowledge of the clock. Now, they say if any man worship the beast and his image, and his image is coming out of the Roman Catholic Church, the head Christian man. Now, let's see where he gets his orders from in the third book of Enoch, 26:12. Where he gets his orders from, young lions? Come on.
All right. Third book of Enoch, chapter 26, verse 12 reads, why do y'all call Seraphim? Because they burn Sarah, the writing tables of Satan. Every day, Satan sits together with Samuel, the Pope of Rome, with Dubiel, the Prince of Persia, and they write down the sins of Israel on their writing tables, which they had over to the Seraphim, so that the Seraphim can present them to the righteous one. Blessed be he, so that he should eliminate to destroy Israel from the world. But the Seraphim know the secrets of the righteous one. Blessed be he. They know that he does not want the people, Israel, to perish. What do the Seraphim do about this? Every day they receive the tablets from the hand of Satan. They burn them in the burning fire, which is near the high and exalted throne. They do this in order that the tablets should not come before the righteous one. Blessed be he when he is sitting upon the throne of judgment, judging the entire world and truth.
So the Pope have a visitor every day from Satan the devil or one of his head captains. And all they want to know who that we don't have. What's the devil to his life? Everybody else has got him. So Revelation 16, 1 and 2 there. You know, Revelation 16,
yes,
1
sir.
And 2.
Anti-prophecy. Revelation chapter 16, verse 1 and verse 2. Revelation chapter 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the veils of the wrath of Yahweh upon the earth. Verse 2. And the first went and poured out his veil upon the earth. There fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the man which had the mark of the beast and upon them that worship his image.
His image is Sunday, Christmas, skinny jeans, no fringes. You got his mark. Revelation 19, verse 20, what it say? Revelation 19, 20, what it say?
Anti-prophecy, Revelation chapter 19, verse 20 reads, and the beast was taken with him, the false bishop, shepherd, that wrought miracles before him, which hath deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone.
So you see what happened to that? He said, four kingdoms, the one that ruled it. He said, he gonna grab them in the column, and you tied to the hip, y'all going to the fire. Give me a precept on that in Matthew 25:41. Give me a precept on that. So you see, if you got his mark, his image, it's Sunday and Jesus Christ. And all that he stands for. So you have the image, if you have Jesus Christ and Sunday, and you're doing Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, you have the mark of the beast already, which is called the system, that's coming out of the Vatican City, the head man that get his orders from Satan the devil. Let's read.
Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Then should I say also unto them, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepare for Satan the devil and his wicked angels.
You see that? So you are locked up and got yourself to be thrown in. He going to the fire. But you got an opportunity to repent. But you gotta do 18 verse 4 and the close 18 verse 14 11 and close in there, young line. Just give me Revelation chapter 18 verse 4 and give me 10 through 12 and the close of statement. Come out. And all yours after this. Catch you tomorrow at 6:00 p.m. Revelation 18 all verse right. 4 and 10 through 12 and the close of statement. Come out.
All right, Revelation chapter 18 verse 4 and 10 through 12. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4 reads, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Verse 10 through 12. Verse 10 reads, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is your judgment come. Verse 11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Verse 12. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all dyeing wood and all metal vessels of ivory, and all metal vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble.
Excellent. Don't line. Excellent on your body. You do it all in glass tiles. So this is Moses, the elders, and the brothers and sisters. Cold dinner is all yours. Catch them all at 6 o'clock. Come out.
All right. This is the precept of Matthew 5:41. I'm going to Psalms chapter 6, verse 8. Psalms chapter 6, verse 8 read. Psalms chapter 6, verse 8. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, sin, for Yahweh had heard the voice of my weeping. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
Addiction, young line, depart from me. You've been sinning against me, and I ain't got nothing coming. See, the time came. That's why they say it's not. We can put on 200 scriptures in 3 hours. But what good is that? You know, take our time. I hope you learn something. Christianity, Islam, or Judaism, you got the mark already. But you got time to repent. It's up to you. Catch your mark at 6 o'clock.
The noun purgatory was not commonly used until the late 12th century, when it was popularized by theologians in Parisian universities. The theologians at the University of Paris, many of them Franciscan or Dominican friars, debated questions about purgatory and the benefits it offered to the soul. St. Thomas Aquinas was one of them. If the church and theology invalidated the concept of purgatory, literature was responsible for detailing that place. When Dante Alighieri wrote his Divine Comedy as early as the 14th century, he derivatively described a journey through hell, purgatory, and paradise. The details, images, and vision reflected the writer's idea of the medieval world and contributed to the perception of life after death. The second part of the Divine Comedy, Purgatory, contained 7 levels, each corresponding to one of the 7 deadly sins. Presented as a mountain on an island, Dante's presentation of purgatory was promising. His and others' work solidified the notion that purgatory was a physical place, not just a theological either, where the soul remained indefinite.